it is tailor-made for every individual, every human being. And from whatever your background and whatever part of the world you come from, Christianity, Jesus Christ is for you. And the good news of the gospel is for you. It will meet exactly the needs that you have, the deepest spiritual needs that you have, beginning with the forgiveness of your sins. We have a good variety here of nations represented, don't we? And I thought it might be fun just to go around this. We have Germany in the front row here, and Australia, England. going along, we have Algeria. Oh, me. Vietnam. Algeria. Going back, Brian and Edna, you're English. And some ladies here. Burmese. Wonderful. I don't know if we've had so many Burmese folks before. Someone else English. And right behind there, Nigerian. Excellent. Jamaica. Betty's from Uganda. Rosina. Sorry? Italian. Right. Okay. A bit of both. And the lady there? Congo. Fantastic. And we've got English at the back. And then coming back this way, Glenn was born in Zimbabwe, which is down in South Africa. John is kind of proper English, some Jewish heritage, and Sophie, and the lady right at the back here, just behind David, sorry, Chinese, wonderful, of course. Maggie's from Hong Kong, Maureen's from Montserrat, she was born in Montserrat, that's correct, isn't it? And then we're having Michael's from Ireland. Oh, Limerick, no less. Okay. And Mary's Nigeria. Ruth's English. Them English. And Lola. Nigerian. And also Sarah. Nigerian also. And then these lads. A variety, you tell us. So we got, you represent them, yeah, Isabella. A Northern Irish man, of course, of course. Yeah, Stuart, English. And I'm really English, but I like to think I'm part Scottish because I was brought up there. All right, so we've covered a lot of ground there. That's a lot of countries represent. David, America, so sorry. Florida, Miami, my apologies. We missed you out. All of us have come to at least an interest in Jesus. Some of us have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, a fascination with him. And it just shows what a draw he is to all the nations. So look at the variety. We have Lydia and the prison officer, representative of those differences, a man and a woman, yes, but also, I think, a very genteel woman, a wealthy businesswoman, probably a dealer in purple. And this man, we don't know his name, we don't know too much about him, but likely he got to where he was because he was probably a fairly rough man, perhaps a violent man, you know, that came with a job. But both of these characters come to believe in Jesus. The good news is for everyone. Second thing, there's only one way to be saved. The question is asked by the prison officer, what must I do to be saved? The answer is clear. It's the answer of all Scripture. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. There's no suggestion from Apostle Paul that there's any other way. He doesn't say, well, if you practice your own religion more diligently, more piously, then that might swing it with God. There's only one way. There's only one suggestion. And as we look at the words of Jesus in John 14:6, and Peter in Acts 4, and Paul in 1 Timothy 2, it's clear there's only one way to the Father, there's only one name under heaven by which we may be saved, and there's only one mediator between God and humans, and that is Jesus. There's only one way to be saved. We want to say that loud and clear in this church. We're trying to write it into our Constitution. Our Constitution was written in 1959, It's implied in the Constitution, but it's not as clear as we'd like it to be. And we think today we need to make it very clear that that's where this church should stand. However, there are lots of ways to come to Jesus. lots of different ways to be represented here of coming to Jesus and of Jesus coming to us. And there are two very different ways in Acts 16, are there not? The first is a very gentle way. They're down by the river and they're having a quiet conversation together. And it seems that Lydia is just ripe, isn't she? She's just ready for the gospel. She's good soil, and she's ready to hear the gospel. And as soon as she hears, she submits her heart to Jesus Christ. The other guy, it's different, right? He's all shook up by this earthquake. It's a dramatic thing. It's a violent moment. And for some folks, this is how they come to Jesus. For some, they read the Bible on their own. It makes sense to them. Or maybe they've been raised in a Christian home. And it's quite a gentle way of coming to Jesus, or of Jesus coming to them. But for other people, it has to be more dramatic. There's an illness. There's an earthquake, perhaps, as here. Something dramatic happens before they can wake up to Jesus and to their lost condition without Jesus. I remember a friend telling me once about his uncle. His uncle had just discovered that he had cancer, and his uncle was just shocked by this. He said, "I thought I was going to live for 1,000 years. Now, of course, he didn't really believe that, but we behave as if we will live for 1,000 years, and we forget that there's a day coming when we will have to reckon with our Maker, when we will have to stand before God. And that really shook him up, and he started to think about ultimate things, about God, about eternity, about salvation, about, am I right with God? Do I have peace with God?" And sometimes God uses those dramatic moments. C.S. Lewis put it this way, the writer of the Narnia stories and Mere Christianity. He said that things like pain and suffering are like God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. If you won't hear him otherwise, if you will not hear his voice, the gentle whisper, then he'll use the megaphone of illness or an earthquake or some other dramatic event to get your attention and to find salvation, in order that you might find salvation. Lots of different ways to come to Jesus. Believing in Jesus is always followed in Acts by baptism. Always followed in the New Testament by baptism. It's like night follows day. People believe and they are baptized. We've seen that again and again. I don't need to drive that home. We're a Baptist church. We believe in baptism. Baptism is not essential for salvation. It is not itself the way you are saved, but, see, I'm trying to steer a middle course here. It is not the way you are saved. You are saved by grace through faith, by faith in Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. Verse 31. But baptism is then obedience to the command of Jesus Christ, the one you have faith in. So baptism is not the way to be saved, but it is very important because it is the command of Jesus Christ to all believers to be baptized. Baptism doesn't have to be a big event. For the life of me, I cannot find this requirement in the Bible, that baptism has to be a big event like this. It's wonderful. It's a bonus. It's a plus when we can have all these folks and we can have friends to come and see Sabello being baptized. Fantastic. But I don't see any requirement in the Bible that every time it has to be a big profile event. Now, you could imagine that if it was that, when the prison officer comes to believe in Acts 16, that Paul would have said, "Well, just hang on a minute. I'll go and round up Lydia and her family, and we'll bring them across, and we'll get some of the friends to come as well, and we'll make a big event of it." Seems to me that it's okay for it to be a low-profile thing, that it doesn't have to be a big, kind of embarrassing event. It's okay to be a low-key event, if that's what you prefer. It's your testimony, first and foremost, to God. Now, you might say, well, how then will people know that I'm a Christian? Well, I think in the New Testament and in Acts, there's an expectation that you would have already shared that verbally with people. And they would know. They wouldn't have to have baptism as a sign of that. You would have been gossiping the gospel. You would have been sharing the good news. One way or another, they would know you're a Christian. But as I say, it's a bonus. It's a plus that you bring your friends here and we make an event of it. So it's great that you're all here. Don't go anywhere, please. Lock the doors, please. Believing in Jesus changes people. Please notice the difference that this makes. We don't see it so much in Lydia, although there is this instant hospitality from both these characters, Lydia and the prison officer. But I think this is especially striking in the case of the prison officer, the jailer, that a man who was probably quite brutal with Paul and Silas in that inner cell of the prison in Philippi, by the way, the inner cell was a grim place to be, devoid of light, devoid of air, smelly, devoid of any sanitation, a really grim place to be. And in all likelihood, he's guarding them carefully, so he is chained to Paul and Silas, which actually makes him captive to their prayers and songs in the prison. But probably a fairly brutal man with it. Notice how he changes as he comes to believe in Jesus. He takes them into his house. He washes their wounds, verse 33. He gives them hospitality. Becoming a Christian changes people. Changes people. You see it in the way they behave, in their hospitality, in their concern, in their love for people. It shows up in the life. Repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. It means that your life changes. You have new priorities, you have new ambitions, you have new values. You can see it already at the very earliest moment in the life of this prison officer. It changes people. And finally, it is a happy experience. Now, we see this again and again, really, in the book of Acts. It's a joyful moment when someone is baptized. It's a joyful moment when you come to believe and be saved. And then you seal that with this baptism, this immersion in water. As a sign of your faith in Jesus, as a sign of a new beginning in your life, through faith in Jesus, as a sign with your identification with Jesus as you go down into the water, as if you're buried in the water like Jesus was buried, died and was buried, and then raised again to new life, a new way of life, a newness of life, that you might walk in new life, a new way of life. Romans 6, verse 4. And it's often a happy experience. I hope and pray and I think and believe it will be a happy experience for Sabello today as he comes up out of the water, even before he goes into the water, as he makes this identification with Jesus Christ. A wonderful experience. It's not often, I don't think I've ever seen anybody come out of the water here or in other places without a smile on their face. This is no pressure. No pressure. But I hope that you really enjoy this moment. And it's also a great moment to look back on. As you go on into Christian life, you've already encountered all kinds of trials and temptations along the road until we get home to glory. You'll remember, of course, that Jesus' temptation was followed hard on the heels by was followed hard on the heels by his temptation. As soon as he had that reassurance, that wonderful experience of the Father speaking to him from heaven, the Holy Spirit coming down upon him like a dove, he is driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit into temptation, into trouble. And that can happen. That can happen. After the high of this moment, you immediately face temptation. And in those times, it's good to remember that you have been baptized. That there's this sort of visible thing that you've done that marks your conversion to Jesus Christ, that seals that relationship, if you like. Martin Luther used to say this, the great reformer of the 16th century. He said, one time when he was being tempted by the devil or troubled by the devil, he said to him, audibly, I think, "I am baptized," as if to prove, to show that he was in Christ, that he belonged to Jesus Christ, that whatever the devil was throwing at him, the blood of Jesus covered all his sins and cleansed away all his sins. How much more for us? Martin Luther was baptized as an infant, as a baby. He couldn't remember, personally. I understand we can't remember anything that happens to us before age 2. I think for me it goes much longer than that. But anyway, well, the first thing I remember was an eight-year-old birthday party. But that's maybe just the state of my memory. Martin Luther couldn't remember the day, but if you are a believer who's being baptized, that's Sabella today, this is a day for you to remember. And when you're assailed by doubts, by temptations, troubled, think back. I am baptized. I was baptized. I am baptized. I belong to Jesus. And I'm covered by his blood. And I'm standing in his grace. I'm trusting in him. So we pray that as you step down into the waters, it'll be a wonderful moment for you, as it has been for so many folks in this room, and that as you go forward into your life and your Christian life, and back to Swaziland tomorrow, I believe, that it'll be a moment for you to look back on, a memorable time that you will be able to draw strength from. Before we go to that, let's pray. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Our Father in heaven, we pray that these words will come home to each one of us with power, with clarity. We pray that we too may believe in the Lord Jesus, trust in the Lord Jesus, rely upon the Lord Jesus. Depend upon him. Personally, go to him and call out to him by faith. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe in you. I put my faith in you. And thank you for this special day when Sabello identifies in this kind of visible way with the Lord Jesus Christ and says, I belong to him. I'm trusting in him. I believe in him. And I'm obeying his command to be baptized. And so we pray, Lord, that it will be a really special occasion for him. We pray that even as he goes into the water, that you will give him that reassurance that he belongs to you, that you are his child, that you love him dearly, that you'll be with him through thick and thin, and that you'll bring him safe home to glory. And we pray that each of us watching on and taking part in various ways will also be blessed and drawn to Jesus Christ, or more closely to him, as we pray in his name. Amen. We're going to sing the song on the screen, Wake Up, O Sleeper, and Rise from the Dead. After that, Sabella will be giving his testimony, and then we'll be baptizing. But this song is chosen today because I understand this may have been, we're not sure, but this may have been a baptism hymn in the very early days of the church. Wake Up, O Sleeper, and rise from the dead. Baptism is a picture of a kind of a waking up to God, to Jesus, and a rising again from the dead for those who were dead in sin. So let's stand to sing. Thank you, Philip. Thanks, Abello. Over to you, mate. We'll give you the mic at the front, maybe.
Thank you all very much for coming. I'm going to try and keep this short. I think of late, my heart's been kind of heavy because I know I'm leaving, and I also know I'm leaving many people in this room as well, so... Forgive me if I stop and pause. It's only just to kind of bring myself back to what I'm trying to say and to also appreciate who I'm saying it to. Thank you all for being here, for being here to witness what is a proud declaration of my faith, declaration of my repentance, declaration of my obedience, a declaration of my oneness, and most importantly, it's also a joyful acceptance of my ownership and conviction of my faith and an act to enter God's visible church. Like many of you, I'm sure, I had a different take on baptism before I came to know God and to learn more about it. But I always thought I had to be perfect to be baptized, and I soon realized that's impossible. But... there was a certain process I felt I had to go through before I understood what baptism was and before I was able to appreciate why it's needed and why, as Ollie said, it is a command. Charles Spurgeon famously said, "A man who knows that he is saved by dwelling in Christ does not, when he is baptized, lift his baptism in a saving ordinance or command." So basically, if you know you're being baptized, you don't apportion your baptism as the saving act. In fact, Spurgeon continued, he is the very best protester against that mistake because he holds that he has no right to be baptized until he has already been saved. So by me being baptized, I'm not saying being baptized is going to save me. I'm saying I've already been saved. I've already experienced the saving grace of Jesus. And And I'm also being baptized in obedience to knowing that he is my Savior. And if he's asked me, and he's asked us all to be baptized, and that follows belief, then that's important. Now, I don't know who was here when I first joined Bow Baptist Church besides most of the elders and some of the older folk who've been here a lot longer. But I first came to Bow Baptist Church in 2012. I was staying with a good friend of mine, Francis, who's here today, and I was walking towards Stratford during the summer of 2012. And I remember seeing a group of girls giving out some water. And I went over there, not because there was a group of girls there, but because they were giving out water. And it was a hot summer's day, and I was really thirsty. So I went over to them, and I said, hey, what's all this about? You know, why are you guys giving out free water? This is London, you know, nothing comes for free in London. And they said, oh, we're helping out. It's part of the church thing. We're giving out some water. You should try and come and attend. I said, oh, well, what kind of church is it? It's just this church here by McDonald's. It's Bow Baptist Church. I said, oh, I grew up a Baptist. I've been in the wilderness for a while, but, you know, I'm looking to make a comeback. And that same Sunday, I actually attended, and Ollie was here to meet me. Stuart took my name down, as he's quite regimented with that process. He gets your email, and then you start getting sent newsletters and so forth. But like everyone, I was still new to coming back to London. I kind of strayed for a while. And with any relationship with a church, there was still a negotiation going on. Some Sundays I'd come. It was intermittent at first. And then over time, as I continued trying to pursue my career as a barrister, I started to struggle in different ways in my life. I had experienced temptation beyond my own ability to manage. And I felt there was a greater need to be more consistent. Now, naturally, like many relationships, my relationship with this church grew slowly. I had to build trust with people. Some people built trust with me at this church by playing football. Other people built trust with me by sharing and service. And other people just start to see you as somebody who consistently wants to be here and spend time with them, and that builds trust as well. But it wasn't until I went through real challenges that I realized that this relationship and my relationship with God was more important. And that's how, over time, I learned to appreciate this church and my relationship with God. This is also because I feel that God uses every bad experience, as Ollie said, a megaphone. God's megaphone is pain. Every time I struggled here, every bad experience I had, and every time I fell, that suffering was God showing me through this relationship with him and through the relationship with this church that he wanted to love me. He wanted to encourage me. And a lot of people here, some of you might not know, some of you do know because I've told you, have helped me through that. You've helped God love me through the love you have for God. And you've also helped God love me through the words of encouragement that have built me up when I have fallen. He also gave me the difficult times I've had in London to teach me to be reliant on him, to teach me to know that I am made strong through his strength, and it's through my weaknesses that I can recognize this strength. Since being in London, I've had many relationships. I've had a relationship as a student with this country, with my university, with friends I met there. I've had a relationship with different friends, with my career, as a football coach, with a woman I've loved. I've even had relationships, believe it or not, with my ego. And I've had relationships with friends that I've let down as well. And in all of these relationships, I've let a lot of people down, and I've also let Jesus down many a time, more times than I'd like to admit. But it's through my relationship in him that I was able to be renewed again and again, through his forgiveness, through repentance, and through his love. Somehow he continues to love even though you fail and fail. And eventually you develop this resistance to certain things just because you know it's not about you anymore. You're trying to please someone who cares for you no matter what. It was through going through difficult times that I realized how much I needed God and how much I needed this church. The same relationships that were once broken, the failure I experienced on my studies, the failure I experienced in a job I didn't like, all of those things were renewed and restored every day I had to get up again because I believed in something more. It's that belief that gave me the conviction to want to continue, even though I wasn't particularly having a good time a lot of the time. It was through knowing Jesus as my Savior, knowing his family through this church, that I've been filled with hope, ambition, and a zeal for life that I'm so grateful for. And I think many of you know how grateful I am for you all here. I hope you do. I don't say much, but I hope by being here you know that I enjoy being with everyone here. It was also out of all these different relationships that I described earlier that I realized that nothing's more important than my relationship with Jesus, because he constantly allowed me to draw from his love to restore my own broken relationships with other people, some of you in this room even. Now I'm reminded by a time, listening to Ollie's service today, a time where, must have been summer about 2 years ago, I was walking home and I saw a wooden pallet. And I said, I'm going to take this wooden pallet home, it's summertime, I'm going to do something constructive. I took the pallet home and had these little ambitions of being a carpenter for the summer. And I decided, okay, I'm going to strip the carpet down. So I looked on YouTube, that's where everyone gets the intelligence from nowadays. Looked on YouTube, I stripped the pallet down, and I remember some of my housemates who are here today as well coming to me and saying, what are you doing with this pallet? It was a weekend, you know? Hang out, let's watch football. No, I've got something to do here. I feel like I need to do this. So after taking it all apart, the next step was then to see what I'd do different to put it back together. So I looked at different things you can do with pallet furniture. And I found a table to be the easiest one, and one with a purpose in which I needed, because we didn't have a table at the time in the lounge. So I took it apart, as I said. We made cuts, the housemates got involved, and we set up a little quality control process where Francis, he would check if every piece that we had cut was smooth, whether we had sanded it properly. And if it passed Francis's careful eye, it went through and it passed to the next stage. And Eunice was walking around, making sure things were in the right place, making sure that the process was flowing properly. And obviously playing the odd song, inspiring the lads, cracking a joke, and getting things going. But in that period of time, the table took about 3 weeks to make. Every weekend I did more work on it. You started to see how the old pallet holes still showed, but that was part of the character of the table that was still being made. Some of the chips that happened because I was a rookie, they still remained as well. Now, when I finally put on the legs, the others weren't there, but I remember feeling this sense of accomplishment. The same kind of accomplishment I've felt since my relationship with Christ has just taken higher steps, and I've just felt relieved by it. But when I looked at the table, I knew it had been transformed. I knew what it was before, but I also knew now what it was going to become. It was going to serve a different purpose. Before, weight had been put on the pallet. Now, nice things were put on the table. It was, in my house where it is currently, it hasn't been thrown away. This is a true story. It's currently supporting our TV, and it's a TV stand. But its purpose from a pallet had been completely transformed. Now, while its purpose has been transformed, you'll know if you've ever tried to make anything with wood, that the finishing part, when you finish whatever it is you've made, it's the ceiling that protects it. The same ceiling that Ollie mentioned today in baptism was representative in this analogy of how a table was made. So I found some beeswax. I did my research. I didn't want to take it away from the whole rustic chic look that's quite popular in Bohemia at the moment. Instead, I wanted to make sure that it looked the part. So I didn't want to get the kind of satin-like varnishes. I didn't find those too attractive. And I didn't want to change the color of the wood. So I needed something natural. So I went and I got beeswax. And I smothered the table with beeswax. It took some time, but at the end, I felt proud. It had been sealed, and it was now ready to continue its purpose. Not that it ended and just stayed there on a mantelpiece somewhere or in somebody's back garden. Now, similarly, I think since coming to know Jesus, I've been through a similar process. I've been torn apart by certain events in my life. I've also had to make some adjustments. I've been cut, shaped, remolded, sanded. Some of you have helped very much in that sanding process. But ultimately, I know because Jesus was a carpenter, he probably knew the importance of varnish or sealing. And that's what my baptism today represents. It's not that I'm finished and this is it, I'm now holier than thou. That's not how it works. What it is it means I'm now in a position to continue my purpose. And I'm also in a position to know that by that sealing, by the baptism today, it's a finishing act to confirm my belief, a conviction to continue my purpose through God and in God, and also an act to approve my faith. Thank you all very much for coming as well.
Sibella's choice, I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. So let's all stand to sing. just a little reminder. We have to be a little bit careful with photographs because of child protection issues. So we're going to ask you just to be really careful not to post photos on Facebook, for example. Certainly not with getting to us and seeking permission first, please. So thanks. Just please take care with that. But obviously, Sabello is fair game, and he'll be happy. I'm going to find a verse that I want to give. I was given a verse for my baptism. Mine was Romans 6:5. I want to give Sabello. It's a much longer one, actually. 6:4. Romans 6:4. But particularly the last words, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, and these words especially, we too may live a new life. Live a new life. Let's live a new life in Christ. So that's the verse I'm giving you. Romans 6, verse 4. I think we're ready to go. Feel free to come forward so you get a better view. We do have a camera. Oh, you've got it. Well done. You've got it. We have a camera that will show. And, if you need to, if you want to stand up or come forward, let's make the most of this. Let's go into the water, Sabella. I think I'm going to be on the right and you're going to be on the left. If I can lift you back up again, mate. So if you face that way, I'm going to take you back this way. Okay, everybody got a good view? So I'm going to ask you two questions. It's a great privilege to do this, first of all. That's one question. That's a statement. And, so my first question to Bella, do you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And will you follow him, whatever happens, all your days?
I will, I tell you.
Then, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Song again, as we try, and please stay where you are, and we'll have a little presentation afterwards.